Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. I always love the da-da-da-da.
And I know, it's like we're pumped up and ready to go.
We are ready to rock and roll with that early morning. Oh my God.
Let me early morning again. Energy. You got
early
so much of it.
Energy. I do. Well, I mean, That's what you have to do. I have to say, so I'm not naturally a morning person, but just from years of working in hotels and you know, like early bird gets the worm. So
yeah, you're not an early riser. I'm an early riser my whole life. Like I've always been that person who wakes up. Like I'm up at 6 a.m. no matter what. Like even if I want to sleep in, I cannot.
Oh,
my wife
no.
is not. She'll sleep forever. But for me, it's like I'm ready. What are we doing today?
Yeah. No, and that's it's so funny because some people will say to me, they're like, you're an early morning person. I'm like, if you ask any early morning person, if I'm one, they'll be like, no. We know she really isn't one. I will get up early. I'll make it happen. But
well, you were up early because you had to be on TV. So you were on TV today.
Yes.
How was
that?
I
was on TV. A lot of fun. Just popped over the hill right here in LA over to CBS. I come in there about once a month and we talk about different relevant topics. And we covered all about what's going on with the 737 MAX 9. And, you know, should people be worried about air travel, how they can figure out what type of plane their flight will be. So all of that stuff to just because, you know, I'm a big fan of making sure that travelers are powered with information so that they don't feel worried. They're not scared and they can just make, you know, smarter travel decisions. So it was a fun segment.
You see, you're coming to help the people, not only here, but everywhere.
Everywhere. I'm here. I'm a person of the people. What? Where did that come from?
I don't know. I like it. New merch. We're going to get that another, made.
Another new merch. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Well, this is exciting. You know, we probably should share with everybody. This is a pre-recorded show. So
yep. We're recording this on Monday. I know you're seeing this on Wednesday.
Exactly.
2 days before.
So it's 2 days
not
before.
Like it's a month ago.
Totally. So please forgive us, but definitely stay engaged. We want to, you know, be sure to make sure that you guys are all kept abreast of all the interesting things that are going on around the world.
Yeah. And we'll be answering live, or yes. I will be for us. So as the show's going on, I'll be answering your questions live in the chat. So let us know where you're watching from, any questions you got, and I'll be making sure.
Totally. Comment. Chime in. Let us know, because we always like to see where everybody is joining us. It's so cool. It's that reminder that hospitality is just so connected.
And we're making so many new friends, which I love. So we're getting invites to hang out and go places. So I can't wait to visit.
Power of social media.
Super cool.
Woo! Okay, cool. Well, that being said, why don't we go ahead and dive into some of our topics? We have a lot of really interesting things to cover today.
We've got a lot of them. And I was reading them. I'm excited to talk about pretty much all of them. So I'm ready. Let's do it.
You're like all of them except for the one that you will not talk with me about.
Might be one
you're
or
like,
two.
I refuse really to talk to you. This is not interesting enough for me, Sarah. I'm kidding. All right. So the first one, for those that have been paying attention, World Economic Forum just was going on in Davos. Mm-hmm. Found this to be a little bit fascinating. Probably one of the most popular hotels to be booked in Davos. I would like to poll the audience. What hotel do you think was probably one of the most popular hotels to be booked in Davos for the World Economic Forum? See, I know you know.
We need the Jeopardy music playing right now.
We do.
Was it St. Regis? Was it Four Seasons? Was it Ritz-Carlton? Where was it, Sarah?
Oh, it was the Hilton Garden Inn.
Whoa.
That was crazy. I thought this was so fascinating because, so we have to talk about this. Is obviously, we're all familiar with Hilton Garden Inns here in the United States. They do have several locations internationally as well, too. But, you know, it's certainly not considered necessarily a luxury brand. And for being at, you know, those that are attending the World Economic Forum, I mean, we're talking about billionaires, we're financiers, individuals that are really the movers and shakers of the money in the world. And to find out that the Hilton Garden Inn was actually a pretty popular spot was pretty interesting. Like major A-listers staying there.
It's wild to see that the Hilton Garden is doing that. And if I were in their shoes, I would be promoting this. Like, we're good enough for billionaires or something along these lines of marketing. Like, we are good for you and your families to come stay at the Hilton Garden Inn.
Totally. And so I think the big thing is like, why the Hilton Garden Inn? I mean, obviously that's not the only hotel there. There are several hotels, but you want to keep in mind that in Davos, just in general, the population is 11,000 people. And then when the World Economic Forum happens, that's 3,000 attendees that come in to the area. So you can imagine that's a significant impact to how many people are in the area. And so, you know, certainly they're staying at other hotels or pretty much all
vacation rentals. People are having that, but
100%.
It was cool to see like the Hilton Garden is like the center of the universe for that.
And to give a shout out to some of the other hotels there, one of the big hotels is also the Grand Hotel Belvedere as well too. But again, we're talking about rooms that are, in general, I mean, they end up being at least 50% more during this time because of, you know, its demand is there. But definitely interesting.
I love seeing when you have these kind of cities, like this is a small town.
Yeah.
Getting a major conference coming to Davos. And I don't know enough of the history. I know that, you know, going there because it's Switzerland and that's where all the banks are and you can do a lot of things there. And maybe it's beautiful from all the things I've seen there.
Mm-hmm.
But it just shows if you can get a great citywide conference to fill up your hotel rooms, it's amazing what happens. You see those prices skyrocket.
Well, and what's been interesting too is that it's come out that there have been a couple of key individuals who have chosen to stay at this particular property over the years. So it's also interesting too that it's like these key movers and shakers, because they're opting to stay there, others are actually coming to the property as well too. So it's just very interesting to just see, and a reminder at the end of the day, you know, at times it's, you don't necessarily need to have the most luxurious place. You just need to have the most convenient place.
Location, location, location.
Location, exactly.
Well, listen, shout out to Hilton Garden. I've stayed there. Solid for what you need. You know, get a nice big suite for you and your family or you and your friends. Hilton Garden Inn. If you want us to do a commercial, let us know.
Exactly. Although I think they've done a pretty good job with Davos just with that. So I thought that was really interesting. Wanted to just share that with you all. But let's go ahead and talk about, there are a couple of new hotels. More in my neck of the woods.
Yep.
Pretty excited about this one. It's going to be opening in just a few months, this spring of 2024, the Sanborn in Santa Monica. Now, why is this particularly, yes, we see new hotels all the time, but it's a couple of reasons. One, it's going to be a very touch-centric hotel. And the actual designer of it is Gula John's daughter, who I have had the opportunity to interview on the Creators podcast that I do with Visit West Hollywood. She designed the Lapeer Hotel. That's a Kimpton property in the heart of West Hollywood, among many, many other places. But this is also one of her properties. And her aesthetic and her design is phenomenal across the board. But I love that it's touch-centric.
Yeah. And so I was looking at the design.
Yeah.
Maybe you can break down for us what is touch-centric for the listeners here. First time they're hearing this.
It's touch-centric. I mean, it's pretty much, I mean, it's exactly what you kind of, it's a lot of textures. It's a lot of textures and there it things that you like encouraging people to touch the design.
Yeah. I'm looking at the pictures. And so I would encourage you, if you're not driving, take a look at this or afterwards, take a look at the hotel Sanborn Santa Monica, because it is beautiful. And what I love about this is that they are not being cookie cutter. So they invest in the designer, you put that into there and you really get this unique feel. Like when I look at it, I feel like I'm being transported to like this glamorous hotel in Santa Monica, which I've never been to. And it makes me want to go stay there. It's beautiful.
You gotta come.
I got many reasons to come now.
Yes, you do. Yes, you. Maybe we'll do a show from there.
I would love to. But the restaurant's going to be beautiful. They've got a great chef and Chef Rafael Luneta. The dining room looks beautiful. They got indoor, outdoor. I mean, man, they're taking California lifestyle into this.
Totally. And just a quick shout out to Chef Rafael. I actually had a chance to meet him as well, too. He's got a wonderful, he's had many restaurants, but one of his restaurants, which I've been to more recently, is called Luneta All Day. And to give you an idea of who he is, he's kind of known as sort of like being this, the father of sort of this farm to table type of cuisine, because it's obviously makes so much sense for the location of like Santa Monica, where you've got access to so much wonderful produce. And so he really leaned into that. And so he's been highly inspirational in the whole chef and culinary scene. And it's so great that they're able to tap into him here, because, you know, being part of Santa Monica, it just makes sense. So, I mean, from touch to food to all the senses, I think they're going to be knocking it out of the park. I'm pretty excited about it.
But it looks, it's a good reminder for new hotels. Like, you can be uniquely local. You can bring in these things and still be a top hotel and really go into design and make this an experience. We keep talking about this, where these travelers really want a unique experience. So good job, Sanborn.
Yeah, exactly. So take this to as a chance to feel the moment. Yes, I went there.
So California.
Oh gosh, oh crazy. Yeah, so yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that. Also, let us know too, do you have any hotels that are opening up near you that you are seeing really unique takes that they're doing, whether it's on their design, whether it's on their offerings? We want to know. We always want to give a shout out to people that are doing something different and not cookie cutter, exactly as you said. So let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods, and then maybe we'll talk about it on one of the future shows.
Yeah, we would love to.
Yeah,
so now we got a new hotel.
Yes.
Where you will be visiting.
Yes.
Oh, I'm excited to hear about this place.
Yes.
Margaritaville. Okay. Woo! Debuts its first ski resort in, of all places, Lake Tahoe. So tell us about it. You're going to be there.
So, yes. So I will actually be there this Wednesday. So at this time on Wednesday, I will be there talking about the Margaritaville brand and this new property. And what's been so great about it, you know, for those that might not be familiar, Margaritaville brand, very much influenced by Jimmy Buffett, you know, who sang the song Margaritaville. And a lot of people associate the brand with that sort of beach luxury lifestyle. Makes sense. That's where a lot of their resorts have certainly got their start. But, you know, for example, they have a location that's in Times Square. And then this is one of their, this will actually be their third property on the West Coast. So they've had one in Palm Springs. They had one just in the middle of last year that opened in San Diego. And now this just opened in December up in Lake Tahoe. And what's great is that you're really able to see that you have this sort of like what people associate as like a beach brand, but it really leans into the local destinations. And it doesn't feel like you're taking a beach brand necessarily and like and putting it there, but it's Margaritaville. It's this mindset. It's this state of mind of like relaxing, enjoying, you know, where you are. So it's going to be pretty fun to see.
I see it. It's fun to think that they are growing this way, because you're right. It's a beach concept, right? Yeah. Margaritaville has always been that surfer and flip-flop and, you know, hanging out on the beach.
Totally.
And so it's curious to see, because when it opened in Times Square, I remember thinking like, all right, this is kind of, you know, it's Times Square, so it's a little over the top.
I felt the same way. Have you ever been in it?
Yeah, I was there when I was there recently in New York back in July. I was like, all right, like it's cool. And so what I'm hoping for Margaritaville, and I want to see what you think, is that they start to embrace doesn't have to be the beach lifestyle. It's more of that fun, happy, chill lifestyle, but infuse it with some of the local places. I saw some of the pictures and it's very beachy.
It is. It is beachy.
Lake Tahoe.
So I will say this, for those that have been following me for some time, I have stayed at least three times at the Margaritaville in Times Square. It is actually probably one of my favorite hotels in Times Square. First of all, I used to live in New York, so the even idea of staying in Times Square is like a little bit like, whew.
Yeah, the locals are like, what you are you doing there?
Yeah, it was it's convenient. And yeah. I stayed there and I love it. I love the rooms. They're clean, they're fresh, they're bright, very comfortable. They do an excellent job with their product. So I will say that. And funny, this last year when I stayed there, my mom came in and it was so super cute because she came, she got I had already checked in, then I went to dinner and then she came to the hotel while I was out at dinner and she got herself all checked in. And then she sends me a text and she's like, I feel like I'm on vacation in the middle of the Big Apple. And it was so cute because she loved it. You know,
yeah, I love the one. I love the one in Orlando. I've stayed there because they have a mix of hotel plus vacation rental. So you have these homes that look like you're in the Keys that are run by a vacation rental company called Rental Resorts that I had on the Hospitality Mentor podcast.
Yeah.
And they built the hotel with the vacation rentals all combined. It's a great experience. I love it there. And the one here in Hollywood, Florida is awesome too. So the brand I enjoy. I want to see them incorporate a little bit more of their locale into that mindset, not just having to be surfboards everywhere. And some skis.
Stay tuned because I will be showing off all that because they've definitely done a great job. I'm going to be watching. They're skis. I already saw. It's cool to see like a brand just kind of grow and develop. And again, it's about this sort of like state of mind and they do a great job with that. So,
well, I have something else I want to bring up now. Sidetrack.
Oh,
because you're gonna be going through hotels, and my brother just got these Ray-Ban Meta sunglasses where you can stream live with the camera in the sunglasses, and it looks HD, ultra clear. So I want to start doing some of those lives. I got to get my hands on them.
How much are these glasses?
They're like $379. So it's not like the new old Apple Pro Vision of $3,900.
Okay, no, definitely not.
But he's using them more and more. But I want to start doing like some live walkthroughs. Like I would walk around with you and say, hey, here we are. Let's go. It would be very cool.
Maybe we both need to like make an investment in that. So let us know, guys, by the way, would you tune in if
on some live walkthroughs or
of properties? I love that idea.
It's cool because you got music you don't need headphones. You sound like you're in the surround sound. You can talk to it, say, hey, Meta, where am I looking at? And it tells you what you're looking at. It's crazy.
Okay. We might need to play around with this and just
I'm calling it. Meta. So. I got some context there. We're going to need some free sunglasses for Sarah. And
Meta. We need some stuff. But I think it's great. And it's a wonderful way to, for people, because again, you know, it's all like, we're already going ahead and
put it on my face.
Exactly. Love that.
Thanks for the sidetrack, everybody.
No, I like, it's a good sidetrack. So yeah, let us know. You want us to see those? You want us to do those tours? We can make it happen. All right. Whew. We got to shift gears here and talk about what's going on in the world of airlines. I feel like it's been a bad couple of weeks for airlines just in general.
Yeah, doors are flying off. Our pets are falling off. What's going on out here?
It's crazy. So we got two different things that are going on. So first of all, I want to ask you all, what is the craziest thing that you have ever experienced on a flight or maybe in a hotel? Because certainly if we've worked in hotels, we've definitely seen a lot of crazy things. I will say this. Actually, I do. This reminded me of a story. I was on a flight. If it wasn't last year, it was the year before. I was coming back from New York City right around this time. And a woman locked herself in the bathroom and like locked herself in and wouldn't come out. So they wouldn't take off. And then a flight attendant had to go back and break down the door to the bathroom, we had to go back to the gate and the maintenance had to come on. And it was, I have the best video ever because I'm sitting in my seat and you can actually see them escort this woman, like totally disheveled, like off the plane. She's like walking off the plane. They escort her off. And then seconds after she walks off, then right coming the opposite direction is a maintenance guy carrying the door from the bathroom. And I'm like, what is happening? So I don't know. Have you experienced anything crazy like this?
I've had some very crazy things. And I'm trying to think of which one I can say without us getting canceled here, especially being on South Beach here in Miami. So this was during the pandemic when everybody was doing some crazy traveling and those people really didn't care what was happening. And South Beach turned into this party place.
Okay.
And I was, you know, in charge of the hotel and I got a call. It's Fridays around 5:30 p.m. on South Beach is when people don't know how to handle their liquor. They start to drink too much. They get a little sloppy and we're in the pool. We get the call that there's two people having adult relations in the pool at 5:30. So I have to go down there and break them up. They started screaming at me for interrupting. And turns out that that woman was married and her husband was up in the cabana and she was with another guy. And so then that guy came down, her husband started fighting the other guy in the middle of the pool deck that turned out to an all out brawl. And I had to call the police to break it all up. And I still have the video here. I haven't shared it yet. So. Yeah, it was one of the craziest things I've ever seen because too sloppy on South Beach.
Fell apart. Wow. Okay.
Luxury hotel, beautiful place. Friday at 5:30 on South Beach. If you want to see some stuff, that's when you walk around.
That is, I'm almost speechless. That is cool. Yeah. That's a story.
Yes. Whew. And I have many others, but that's one I think I could say. It's crazy.
Well, no, I love that story. So by the way, if you're tuning in, obviously you're at a, you know, you've worked in properties. Let us know whatever you can, maybe the PG version. The PG-13 version of whatever your story
keep
is.
It there.
So all of this to say is that crazy stuff happens everywhere. So we can keep that in mind. But most recently, oh goodness, an American Airlines passenger allegedly bit a female cabin crew member on a flight this past Tuesday, forcing an Al Nippon airline that was going to Seattle to return and go back to Tokyo. So this plane was going from Tokyo to Seattle. An American passenger bit the flight attendant and they had to be like, yo, we got to go back and handle this situation.
Wonder what that guy was on. It's the crazy part.
It was a male passenger, not to point fingers.
Too much drink, maybe some extracurricular stuff going on.
I'm dying to find out. Of course, they haven't released his name. But what on earth was going on that a person bites another person on a flight?
No, it's crazy. And you see these like TikTok videos and videos on X now and all these things where, you know, you're working at Chipotle and some dude just throws his tray into your face because he's not happy that you didn't put enough guacamole or they didn't get sat down in time and they're screaming at people. It's just, guys, we all need to chill out.
Totally. It's such a crazy thing. So I think it'll be interesting to find out, like, what was he on? And at the end of the day, I always say this, you can't reason with crazy. So of course this does not make sense to us because, you know, we are in our right mind. I mean, arguably, but it's wild. But interestingly enough, to kind of give you an idea as far as like what type of fines people could be fined for this. So the two of the largest penalties ever levied by the FAA against the individual passengers was actually just last year. They were different passengers that were hit. Also hitting and biting crew and other passengers. I don't know why they did this. And they were fined $81,950 and then about $78,000 respectively. That's a fine. Now, by the way, and it's more than just the money too, because your name is on a list.
Yeah. You can't fly. Like you're blacklisted, right? Like you're on that aviation blacklist.
Like, that's just crazy. Like, what on earth is going on that you are in a public space that you got to be hitting and biting people?
I don't know. Some people it gets crazy in airports, especially when you start getting delay after delay after delay and you're trying to get somewhere. Maybe they're just trying to, I don't know. I've seen people lose their mind when you see delays, but
well, you know, And actually, this reminds me, I remember a couple months back, probably after those other incidents, is that there was a little bit of talk of, do airlines stop serving alcohol on planes? Want to know? Let us know. Do you think airlines should stop serving alcohol on planes? Curious. What do you think about that, Steve?
It's a big one.
Do you?
I have like a glass of wine if it's a long flight, but if it's like under 4 hours, no. If I'm traveling with my kids, no, because in case something happens to them, I'm like ultra focused.
Yeah.
So no, but they are being overserved a lot of times because you see people come in and they're drinking at the airport for a while. They have several drinks at the bar that keeps going. They're not hydrating with water. Then they get on the plane, which dehydrates you even faster.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might lose your mind. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Might lose your mind. You definitely lose your mind. It's hard because people ask me, and I'm not a big drinker to begin with. And I definitely don't like the way that I feel if I do have alcohol on a plane. So I steer clear from it always. But that's also just not part of me and my normal everyday lifestyle.
At this thing, like Centurion Lounge and the lounges, they offer it. Like a lot of it's complimentary. So sometimes they don't know how to keep track, but I enjoy it when I go, if I'm on my own or like with my wife, but you gotta be responsible. Can't freak out.
Drink responsibly when you are going to be traveling, kids. Do that. All right. You ready for our next airline topic? Because as if biting a flight attendant was not enough, snakes on a plane.
Yeah, get these MF snakes off this plane.
What? Oh my God. I love that movie.
So a snake was on a plane coming from where?
It was coming from Bangkok, from Thailand, going over to Phuket, and a live snake was discovered on a plane. This was just on January 13th. Now, by the way, if you're like,
what kind of snake? Do we know what kind of snake it was?
I don't think that they know. It's a small snake. It was a pretty small one. And by the way, if you're thinking like,
Anaconda got on the plane.
Oh no. None of that. But if you do think that this story sounds familiar, it kind of does, because in February of 2022, so not too long ago, a spotted python was found on board a domestic flight in Malaysia, traveling from Kuala Lumpur to Sabah. So I love that the airlines are coming out to say, yes, we know that there have been two snakes on a plane, but this is still a very rare incident. Obviously it's rare, but like, what? What would you do if there was a snake on the plane, Steve?
It is a little scary. So I'll say I have some experience with snakes in college. There was a pet store across from our fraternity house. So at one point, it seemed like every guy had some kind of random reptile on Florida State's campus. So.
Checks out.
But there are some scary things that can happen with those snakes. And I'm sure if someone starts screaming, they don't know what's going on, running around. You're only going to get bit by a passenger and you get bit by a snake.
So my favorite thing is that the Air Asia crew, they came out and they made this statement. They were all well trained to handle an occurrence of this nature. Like, they're trained for this. Like, yo, a snake might pop up on a plane. So let's go ahead and make sure that is part of our training. And then they relocated passengers from the area as a precautionary measure, which I don't know, but the last time I was on a flight, it was packed. How are you relocating passengers? Like, where are they putting them? Are they in the galley? Like, are they like, you might go have to hang out in like one of the bathrooms. Like, how do you relocate the passengers?
I don't know. I like that they're well trained, because when I worked in hotels, this happened to me with reptiles. We're on Miami, and so we're the Everglades. So I would have snakes come onto the pool deck, and there's a video of me somewhere on one of these social media channels, and it like highlights like, what is this guy gonna do? And I'm out there with like these like grabbers that you pick up garbage with, trying to wrangle a big snake, and it keeps going all over the place, then goes into the pool, swims through the pool, and scares everybody out. So I ruined some people's day that day. We're not trained. They just like, go get that snake out of there.
We're definitely not trained. I think all of us can probably relate to a time that something happened at work that we're like, we are so not trained for this, but it's a problem that you have to fix.
On a serious face and go.
Yeah, 100%. Oh my gosh. So the video of it, by the way, super fascinating. We'll see if it can be shared. But basically the guy's taking up like an empty plastic water bottle and like putting it up, because the snake was like crawling on the top part of like where the bins are. Yeah. I'm trying to catch a snake. Oh gosh. Oh, crazy. So nuts.
Well, next we got We got something other big happening.
I know. This is actually in your neck of the woods, so I think you should leave.
I'm very excited about. Yeah, so the world's biggest cruise ship will sail out of Port of Miami, and it's finally here, the Icon of the Seas from Royal Caribbean. And I saw it pull in, and I drove by it today, and it is gigantic. I've seen the Oasis class ships, which were the previous biggest ships in the world. This makes it look teeny in comparison.
And how many people can it fit?
It can fit 7,600 passengers in 2,805 staterooms. And with all the staff on board, you got 10,000 people that this thing can accommodate. So the city of Davos, get on there.
Call back to Davos. You basically have Davos that can like live on this ship.
Yes. And so I'm like cruising. I don't know about you all watching. If you're cruisers, I started liking it more and more because now I've got kids and I like the big ships because it's like, that is the destination and you get little appetizers of destinations that you can check out. It's like, oh, I like that. I'll come back to that place.
Yes.
We checked out the islands for an hour or two and then we get back on the ship. But I love going on it. What about you?
I'm a huge fan of cruising. And admittedly, it was never really something I had done until more recently in recent years. And I was introduced to it more through, my social media. So it wasn't necessarily like I was taking it as a trip, but I was invited on board. And that's how I've gotten kind of introduced to the world of cruising, but I love it. I've done shorter cruises. I've done longer cruises. And I used to not be a fan of the idea of longer cruises, but I had to take a longer cruise to Antarctica. Worth it. I also had to take a longer cruise to Alaska. Also worth it. So I am a fan. What's interesting is the price point, by the way, on this particular ship. So because it's pretty luxurious.
That's interesting. You got a lot going on. I just checked because I wanted to go for my kids' spring break. And I know the price they told us, like an average of $3,500 for two people in an inside stateroom, I think.
Okay, yeah. So what about family townhouse?
Well, that looked amazing. That was 40 grand to almost up to 100, depending on the week you were going. And I saw the videos. I love watching them on YouTube, little walkthroughs of the Royal Caribbean blog out there. But I checked for spring break.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more than I want to pay. Inside stateroom, no windows, $3,200 a person, no discounts for kids because it's a busy time. So expensive trip for 7 days right now. Ooh. But I will wait for those prices to come down to see down there.
I mean, the key to cruising, and this is going to be a little bit more challenging for you, obviously, as you have kids, but the key to cruising is to go when kids are at school.
Those kids.
Exactly. Well, that's why you do have, you've got people that are maybe like retired and they have more flexibility with their schedules. And that's how they're able to do some of these cruises or so many of them, because they can get them for a better rate because they can fly like at a random week in the middle of February versus they don't need to go in spring break. They don't need to go in the summertime. So, that is the secret to getting a better rate, but kind of
I'll get on there. We'll get on there at some point, but I love seeing it. I love cruising and I love those people. I've met some people who go like just week to week to week to week to week over and over and over again.
You can do some fun things. So cool. I can't wait to get on that ship as well too. So we'll make it happen. One way, somehow. Oh my God. I'd like to buy a word. Okay. So real time recap.
Wow. Our show's over already. All right. Real time recap. Let's do it.
Yeah. Our show is over already. What
real time recap? Yeah, I've got something. So it was my mom's 70th birthday this weekend. Okay. No. So shout out to mom. And I called one of my friends that runs one of the nicer restaurants here in town called Beaker and Gray. So, hey, I need a really cool bartender to help do our family event. And we got one. And Joe from Beaker and Gray did an awesome job. And it's amazing to see, like, when you go to a cool restaurant, you expect these awesome mixology drinks. But when you're doing it at like a family party at your house, you don't. And all the guests were blown away. So it's just cool to see. When you take something from one place and put it in another, you didn't expect how people react, and they did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. Oh, very cool. Well, shout out to them. It's always nice to see people going above and beyond.
Absolutely. Going above and beyond. It was awesome.
Totally. Okay. My real-time recap, not necessarily in a hotel, not in a restaurant, was actually at one of my gyms that I work out at. Ooh. And I actually, gyms.
Multiple gins. Okay.
I do. I have multiple. I do. For those that may not know, I do work out quite a bit and I enjoy variety.
You have Orange Theory out there. Are you an Orange Theory person?
I am. I'm part
of it. Oh, you are?
Yes, I am. I was actually about to give a shout out to Orange Theory because I've gone to a couple of different locations. I was part of the original one when they opened up in West Hollywood ages ago. Like I joined in 2015. So like I'm OG. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm OG with the whole Orange Zone situation. But you know, what I love about it is it's like they've created this community and it's like they're always so welcoming and it makes the whole experience enjoyable. And I know this is silly, but it's a reminder that you don't have to be in a hotel, you don't have to be in a restaurant to still live in the world of hospitality. This is a fitness venue, you know, it's like people, but they are hospitable and they make me feel welcome and I feel good. And they work with me in case like something weird happens and I'm running late or, you know, oh, the tread that I want isn't available. And we go on and, you know, it just is nice that they just create that environment. So I just want to give a shout out to them because whatever they're doing for training, they're doing a good job.
It's true. So. I used to be a member. I miss it. I got to get back to it.
Oh my gosh. What? Okay. Well, if you join again and the next time I'm in South Florida, we'll take a class together. That'll be so fun.
All right. You got the quote this week.
Okay. I'm going to get this quote. And I think it's so perfect based off of where I am. And also what we talked about earlier, it's a Jimmy Buffett quote. Changes in latitudes, changes in attitudes. So if you are, you know, a parrot head and you are a fan of Jimmy Buffett, you definitely know that phrase. It's from one of his songs. But what I love about it is it really just kind of speaks to this sort of the transformational power of travel and exploration. And it's all about how we sometimes use travel to like recalibrate or rethink about like what we're doing in our life and have this moment or just expose us to different people, cultures, and things. So I'm a big fan of changing your latitude so you can change your attitude.
I love it. I think that's, you said it perfectly. And I see it when I was growing up, I was lucky enough to travel a lot and now my kids are doing it a lot. And that's, they can put that into their own world. They see it like, oh, that wasn't like that here. And I see things differently over there. So I love that.
Totally. Yeah. Travel for kids is so important. I know that it might not be easy to do, but that's something that I always encourage any parent that if they're able to make it happen or do. By the way, I flew on my first flight solo as a 7-year-old and it was an international flight. So even having memories of that as an adult, you know, it just, you view the world differently. Yep.
That's amazing. 7 years old. My daughter's age, traveling international.
Can you imagine?
I think she could do it. She's pretty tough.
She's pretty, yeah. You know, you give her the right, you know, direction, let her know, explain the situation and, you know, it can happen.
Don't drink too much at the bar.
Well, I hope your 7-year-old's not drinking that much at the bar. Oh my gosh. And on that note, I think that might be a wrap for today's show.
All right, y'all. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Definitely stay tuned, share, like, support, all of that good stuff. And
bye.
Bye.